But you know what? I'm looking at the phone number, and I don't know if the person who sent me the phone number confused the area code, because I would think Keith has a Long Island area code.
You would think either 516-917-631.
Yeah, I was sent a 561 area code. That was probably
that's
a mistake.
Florida. That's Florida.
That's probably a mistake.
All right, so why don't you go 516?
Right, please hold.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what's great about this, too, is we had scheduled this big show announcement right at the top at 8 o'clock, and we moved it because Keith requested 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. We're not talking to Keith or doing the announcement. We're just loitering here, waiting for Keith once again. It really is amazing. He's dialing 516 out of 561. He's just going to get some guy like, you know, Tony in Wantaw. Hello? I don't know. Do you have Keith's cell? You got to have Keith's cell.
I do.
So then why? What are you doing? Help a guy out.
Well, first of all, I didn't know he was coming on until this morning. And when I got in here and I found out that he was coming on, I figured that there was going to be an issue.
Well, there's always an issue. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have Keith's number. I don't think. Last time I saw Keith, we were both getting inducted into the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame.
Hold on.
Oh, wait, you're calling him from your phone?
Yeah. I actually tried my old contact I have for him. It is,
Hey, Keith. Yeah, it's Boomer. Are you supposed to be on with us at 8 o'clock this morning? No, well, I called you on my cell phone. You didn't call us. Oh, we were supposed to call him. Like, yeah, our producer, Al Dukes, has
No. It's going right to voicemail, Booms. It's
going right to voicemail. For some reason, it went right to your voicemail, but at least you picked up my phone. All right, so, listen, I'm going to hang up.
You text him the number.
I'm going to text you the WFAN hotline, and you call here. Is that okay? He sounds good, guys. He's already rock and roll. Okay, I'm going to text you the number, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes. All right. Sounded good.
He sounded good. That's great. I'm glad you were the only one who could hear him.
Boomer, I'll tell you in your ear.
Hold on.
It's 2024.
I know. It's unbelievable. He's
you know, some of these celebrities, if you call from a number not in their contact, write the voicemail.
Yeah. I would imagine if you're Keith, you get a lot of schmutz on that phone. A lot of people you don't want to talk to. I don't know who Keith wants to talk to, actually, other than Haji. All right. You got it?
Yeah.
He's now texting Keith the number. All right, it's 8:05 now. We've been doing this for 5 minutes.
I got to tell you, he sounded good. He said it sounded like, you know, when I said I'm calling you, he goes, yeah, I know, I'm ready to go. I said, yeah, but not on my cell phone.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You're not ready to go.
Well, no, he sounded good. He sounded like he was, like, ready to rock and roll.
All right. So tune in tonight to SNY for Mets Braves. Coverage starting at 6:30. It's only on SNY. We know there's going to be a game tonight. We don't know if there's going to be a game on Wednesday or Thursday because of the weather, but he is finally here for everybody to hear. That is the great Keith Hernandez. Keith, good morning!
Good morning. I was here. For some reason, your guy there, it wouldn't write the voicemail. I'm sitting here waiting for your call. So
yeah,
Boomer
Al
got through.
Boomer screws got it up all the time, called. Al.
Boomer called an audible.
Yes, he did, and Boomer took care of everything. As we talk about Boomer, as Boomer's sitting right here, I got to tell you, I love you, Keith, and this has got to be exciting for you and Ronnie. This is big time baseball. This is October baseball. This is pennant race baseball. This is what it's all about. And I mean, none of us are really shocked after watching the Mets over the last 6 weeks. I mean, but let's face it, the Braves have always been the Achilles heel for this franchise, and I'm feeling like this team feels different now going down to Atlanta, getting ready to at least take 2 out of 3 from these guys.
I disagree. I think it's a whole new bunch here, and I'm sure there's history, and I can speak from my experience when I was young with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals could never win on the West Coast trip when you had the West Coast swing and you had those 9 games in 10 days on the West Coast. And finally, in 81 under Herzog, we went there in the second half of that strike year, and we cleaned the West Coast clock. And I remember going to starting that trip, and it was an August stretch run, and we had to win. We couldn't have that kind of road trip, even though it had nothing to do with our ball club. So we felt it, and it was a relief to get it off the monkey off our back, so to speak. So, okay, sure. But I think this is a new group. This is a team that is fun to watch. They've got all kinds of mojo going right now. I mean, they put a marker down with 3 out of 4 at home against the Phillies, and the way they've played and with determination and hustle and spirit of don't think that Philly didn't leave town knowing that they're going to have their work cut out for them if they ever meet in the postseason.
Yeah, and I would love that right now, as good as Philadelphia has been. Bring them on with the way that the Mets are playing. We're talking to Keith Hernandez on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. I know you're not a weatherman, but you are down in Atlanta. It looks ominous for Wednesday and Thursday. You think they're going to find a way to get all these games in, or we're going to have to deal with makeup games at the end of the season?
They've got to play these games. I've heard that the Mets might play a doubleheader tomorrow, because Thursday is going to be, looks like a washout. So, which that is, I think, to the Mets' advantage. And it's always hard to sweep doubleheaders, and but you got to play this game in chronological order, this series, at the end of the season, because everything's hanging in the balance. It's hanging in the balance for where the Mets are going to be, the Braves, where they're going to be, the positioning of the wild card. The Mets still up, with 6 to go to catch San Diego with 3 ahead. That's going to be a tall order. But, they're fighting Arizona. And they take 2 out of 3. That's it for Atlanta. And if Atlanta takes 2 out of 3, they're right back in the hunt, one game out with 3 to play.
Yeah, that's why these things are so big, Keith. Any update on Francisco Lindor? Do you know whether or not he's going to play? And if he does play, we were wondering this morning, I mean, is he going to be limited to maybe being a DH, or can he go full go here?
I have not heard anything. The Mets have been very hush-hush, only what I've read in the paper. But the back's a very tricky thing. It hurts him more, I believe, from the left side when he swings, but that was 2 days ago when we got that update. So, he's had a chance to get more treatment. He's taken BP, evidently. We'll see. It's just amazing that how they played without him. And young Acuna, the way he's performed, and Iglesias, how they picked it up, and Taylor. I mean, this is a group effort, and this is what it takes to win. You know that, and it's kind of fun to watch this kind of come together. It's like all the stars are aligning for this team, but they've earned it. This is a good team.
Yeah, I mean, and it's they have to make the playoffs at this point. It feels like, even though it's going to be a successful season no matter what, coming back from the dead, 11 games under 500. How would you characterize Pete Alonso's 2024 season?
Well, it hasn't been up to Pete's standards, that's for sure. Has it been because of the contracts? Who knows? I think as the season progressed, Pete's an emotional guy, very emotional. And very emotional, but that pretty much covers it. And I think that, when you're a hitter and you're not driving in runs and in the clutch, you know it. And it can snowball. And I think Pete is pressed. He's pulled too much this year, particularly the breaking ball. And, they can come in there and say, well, I'm hitting in bad luck, my exit velocity is 100 and, up there in the top 5. Well, that's all BS. They can play you to pull. You're hitting into the shift. And it's just because Pete has been out in front, not letting the ball get a little deeper. And, that's just my opinion. It hasn't affected his – he's played hard every day. And you're hoping that, he can have a big series. There's 6 games left. Boy, if he can bang it together for 6 games, everybody forget about it,
Yeah, two things that jump out at me in regards to the Mets here this season. One is the manager, Carlos Mendoza. He called a meeting with he and David Stearns about a week ago. This was to talk to the team about Francisco Lindor and his injury. Francisco Lindor led a team meeting about 2 months ago, And I felt like whatever was said in those meetings really resonated. Number one, your impressions of rookie manager Carlos Mendoza and how he's handled this season.
I think he's been absolutely terrific. He is a baseball man. He has always got the same demeanor, smile on his face, no up and down emotionally. And he's a rookie manager. And this team, the month of May, was finding a new way to lose every day, if you recall. It was just such an abysmal month. And he never wavered, was steady. The captain was steering the ship. And for a rookie manager, it was very impressive. Now, bring it up to speed lately. Give David Stearns a ton of credit for bringing in the players here that have made this possible, turned this team around, and made it into a solid roster. So he's used the bullpen, Mendoza, wonderfully. And I think that he has, like he said, I read the quote in the paper with the six out save for Diaz. You know, he's a grown man now. We've kind of nursed him along all year. Now it's time for him to step up. He challenges his players. He treats them all the same. And he's really been a terrific manager on the field. And I think that it's either going to be him or they talked about the guy for at Milwaukee be manager of the year, but I think it's Carlos Mendoza in my book.
Yeah, you know, Keith, it was interesting. We had a caller call in this morning, and he talked about when Carlos Mendoza went out to talk to Edwin Diaz in that last game against the Phillies, and he didn't go out there to take him out. He went out there to go talk to him and say something to him. And, you know, that obviously was something we all saw. We all said, wow, this is interesting, especially given the enormity of the game, when the game was, and what Edwin Diaz had been through this year. So I think that right there in itself is an example of just how much in control Carlos Mendoza has turned out to be.
You know, the manager is the boss. He's the platoon leader. And, you know, when Carlos goes out, he goes out to take you 99% of the time to take the pitcher out. Now, obviously, when he went out there, everybody knew he wasn't taking Diaz out. But players need a competition and someone to, you know, give them the challenge. The challenge is where it's all at. And I think that what he did there was terrific. It reminds me of what Whitey used to do, Whitey Herzog. When he would come out, he wasn't pulling the pitcher. I mean, the pitcher's out there all by himself. He's got eight players out in the field, but he has got to make the pitches. And the 40,000 people that are there, it's all on the pitcher. And you've got to go out there, and when someone's maybe a little bit shaky confidence-wise, give them a boost. Bring out the competitive spirits. Anybody that plays professional sports at this level, in any sport, they're here. Because, A, they're talented, and, B, they're tough mentally. And they wouldn't have gotten here without mental toughness, even though at times when you struggle, you kind of get maybe a little shook confidence-wise. That's when you need your manager to go out there and pump you up.
All right, final question for me, and that is this. If Lindor is healthy and he is playing shortstop, what are you doing with Acuna? Is he staying in the lineup playing second base and then Iglesias coming off the bench? I mean, like, how do you think that works out if, in fact, Francisco is able to play?
You can't take Iglesias out of the lineup. Number one, it's one of the best. I've never seen a finer fielding second baseman. He has to stay in the lineup. Vientos has to stay in the lineup. The only other alternative is to put Acuna in center field, but and Dickie Scott told Carlos Mendoza, when he first got called up, that Dickie said he can play short, second, and center field. Don't be scared about putting him out in any of those three positions. He can do it. Now, that is with Bader not hitting right now. Do you want to, with six games remaining and you haven't seen him play center field, are you going to run him out there instead of Vigil? That's to be one gutty move right there.
Yeah.
You know, Bader brings you defense. And, you know, that outfield with Taylor, Bader, and Nimmo is a solid defensive outfield. This club is solid defensively, and it's been fun for me to watch them play. On the infield, in the outfield.
Keith, always great to talk to you. Hopefully they do get all three of these games in, and it's a different result than 2022. Talk to you soon, hopefully.
Okie doke. I'm around.
He's around. Great job, Keith. Great to talk to you, brother.
See you, man. Keith Hernandez.
I'll tell you, the other thing about the Braves is that, you talk about coming back from the dead, is Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Unbelievable year.
Nobody really cares about wins and losses, but he's 18-3.
He's got an ERA under 2.5, I think.
Exactly. He's going to win the National League Cy Young Award because now they do it still National League and American League for some stupid reason. But
yeah. And our next Boomer and Geo Live is set, and we're bringing the show back to one of our favorite spots, a Paramount in Huntington on Long Island on Friday, November 22nd. So we are back at the Paramount for Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks because it's going to be right around Thanksgiving. We'll have special guests, including Adam and the Metalhawks, who will be coming back. The last Paramount holiday edition that we had sold out there. It was a tremendous crowd. It was absolutely awesome. And the Paramount people were so kind to us and wanted us to come back. We had conversations then about doing it again next year. And here we are. We are doing it again. We're so excited to go back on Friday, November 22nd. So tickets go on sale to the public this Friday at 8 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. But you can get yours a day early with a special pre-sale this Thursday by entering the pre-sale code THANKS. Pre-sale code THANKS. You can get those tickets a day early on Thursday. So hope to see you there. Every one of these things has gotten even bigger and better since the first one that we did. So can't wait for this one. And we are really, really excited to go back to the Paramount on Long Island. We've gone Jersey, Long Island. So we're back. Back to Long Island, Booms.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised by this. I thought I was going to be surprised by something. I got an email from Paramount announcing this about an hour ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'm on their VIP list. I'm a founders club member.
Yeah, we're a well-oiled machine over here.
And details.
So there were some VIP members of the Paramount that got the email before we announced it, but that's okay.
That's, right.
They're VIP members.
I said, when were you guys going to tell me we were doing this again? I said, the Paramount just told me I'm appearing there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is right.
So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And we have so many great fans there. I mean, that show, that Christmas show was amazing. So we'll have a Thanksgiving show. It's going to be great. So
showing up as pilgrims?
there's lots of ideas that are out there.
I'm sure.
Can
we do a Boston Tea Party?
Boston Tea Party. Interesting. We hadn't brought that one up yet. So it's a possibility.
Get Bigelow involved.
Certainly, yes. There's a lot of stuff. So, yeah, excited for this. I remember being backstage and looking out to the crowd right before we came out, and we were bringing you out on the big sled as
Santa Claus,
Boomer Claus, yeah. Seeing everybody out there and all the balconies and everything and the place being packed. It was awesome. So can't wait for that again. So all right, Friday, November 22nd is Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks at the Paramount. Tickets go on sale to everybody Friday at 8 a.m. You'll have a chance to get the pre-sale a day early Thursday with promo code THANKS. And there's some video at CBS Sports Network is playing of Al and Speedy Claxton having a free throw shooting contest with Gallo and Big Zoo dressed as elves getting the rebounds.
Al stinks.
He looked great, though, out
still
there.
Still almost won.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he threw up air balls.
He did.
Air ball.
I thought we were playing on a regulation nets.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. He's only used to the regulation. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And a really good start to the season for the Washington Commanders.
Daniels has the shotgun snap for Washington. Hands to Eckler, busting through to the left tackle. The 20, the 15 down the near sideline. 10, 5, inside the pylon. Touchdown, Washington. Austin Eckler driving, breaking tackles, and accelerates for six.
Yeah, they didn't punt again last night. That was Kevin Harlan. Westwood won on the fan, part of a 38-33 win over the Bengals for Washington, sending Cincinnati to a 2-1. Jaden Daniels, the story, 21 of 23, only missed on two passes, 254 yards, couple of touchdowns, 39 yards rushing, and another score. The locker room message and the speech from head coach Dan Quinn.
We said earlier in the week, man, you put the work in when it's ready for go time, right? There was a lot of people outside our building said, nah, that's a bad win tonight. All right? Let's go get another one. All right? Take it on the road, head to Arizona. Proud of you guys, man, all right? That's a great team win tonight, all right? Team win.
All right. Yeah, the coaches love that, all right, at the end of stuff.
They do.
Went out there and beat their ass, all right? A lot of guys outside this building, they didn't think we were going to do it, all right? But we did it, all right? All right. Go after yourselves. All right?
Well, he didn't say that part, but he said the rest of it. And you cannot have enough praise for Daniels here in his three games. Here is his wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, who had that touchdown pass down the right side. He was covered, and he said it showed me a lot about our young QB.
That kid has poise, man, and I think he grew up tonight. On that deep pass to me, that was a little bit of double coverage, and I've been just pushing and pushing and pushing. Like, trust me, with that safety flag, just give me enough air, I could go get it.
I actually thought he was talking about the touchdown pass. Maybe he's talking about another play, but still, he was outstanding.
It was that first one that that changed everything, because they had really not had a connection the first couple of weeks. It was 55 yards, was down the field, got it to the 5-yard line, and that was their first big connection. And I think just watch out now.
You know, the thing about on the touchdown pass is that Jaden Daniels is getting steamrolled as he's throwing the football, and the ball still goes to where he wants it to go, and it's accurate.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good.
Tough, and gritty, accurate, explosive. I mean, you name it. That's how you can describe his performance last night.
We gave you props in the warm-up show for your take on Jaden Daniels in the preseason.
Oh, thank you.
That he just looks the part.
He does.
And he has certainly been pretty damn good. Here's Joe Burrow. He's 0-3. So
he looks the part.
Now what?
We just come back to work on Wednesday. Come in tomorrow, watch the tape, improve the things that we can improve. Come back on Wednesday and have a great practice.
And hopefully figure things out, because right now nothing is going their way. Although he played well. 324, three touchdowns, no picks. Ja'Marr Chase, 118. And two touchdowns, but again, it comes in a loss. As for the other game, that wasn't exactly simultaneous because it started ahead of it, but the Bills just buried the Jaguars last night.
Play clock down to 7. Allen under center. Cook the lone setback. Here's the snap. Takes the handoff to Cook. Pressure coming. Fires down the right side looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro. It goes 24 yards for the score.
And that was Bills Radio with the call. Sure did. Made it 20-3, 47-10, the final score. One of four touchdown passes for Josh Allen. Trevor Lawrence had a hell of a time. 21 of 38, 178, one touchdown, one pick, sacked four times. Here's his head coach, Doug Peterson. What is up with your QB?
I would, you know, if he's like me right now, I mean, we're all kind of down, right? You know, and probably not very high, you know. It's we just got to keep working and keep keep pushing and work our way out of it.
Jacksonville 0-3, Buffalo 3-0. The Raiders are picking up the pieces for Sunday's blowout loss to the Panthers. Remember Antonio Pierce said he thought guys made business decisions?
Yes.
And now he was going to have to make some business decisions.
Yep.
So he was asked about that on Monday.
Have you made any of those yet?
No, we haven't. Got to give it to the players first.
Obviously, a lot was made of that comment, national media-wise this morning. I guess as you think about it, are you happy that you pointed it out?
I don't bite my tongue.
And so maybe those business decisions will be made tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Gardner Minshew went 30 of 38, led a fourth-quarter comeback against the Ravens, and everybody's like, this is the greatest thing ever. Then they bench him in this past game. And they're still wondering whether or not Aiden O'Connell is going to be the starting quarterback going forward, because Aiden came in towards the end of the game and led the team to a touchdown drive. I'm like, you're three games in, your quarterback played great against the Ravens, at least to the point where he led the team back, and now you're going to bench him?
Team's a mess. I mean, they're just, that franchise in a weird place. And you keep saying Shedeur Sanders ending up there would make sense. They need something like that to.
Yeah, they do. They need their own Jaden Daniels type of player, like the excitement that is generated by somebody who brings the energy that one caller was talking about. So right now it's like a. I think they're hoping for a top three draft choice. They wouldn't say that, but I think that's what they would be hoping for.
Thursday night, MetLife Stadium, Cowboys Giants. Brian Daboll, does 40-0 like the season opener last year motivate you for this one?
Each individual person is motivated by different things. My main focus is getting ready to play this team in 2024, the team that's just played these first three games, and different players, different schemes.
And so
they got to win, man. They got to win this game. This is, like I said, we said that last week.
Yep.
All right, back against the wall spot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to go 0-3. Don't want to be the Jaguars. Don't want to be the Bengals, right?
Yep.
But this game, now, given what the Cowboys have been through the last 2 weeks, where the Giants are, Malik Neighbors, the team is getting sacks, this is a game they have to win.
And here's Andrew Thomas.
At home.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a division game.
Oh, sorry.
So there's more emotions to it, to play, you know, meaningful football in December. You got to win the division game. So,
and which is something they have not done.
Yeah. I was a little distracted there because I looked down at X and someone responded to the announcement of Boomer and Geo Live. We give thanks, saying, can't wait to see Peter Schwartz as Pocahontas. So I laughed at that. And I said, got a little distracted with the Giants talk. I was picturing Peter Schwartz as Pocahontas, which we might have to make happen.
I can't even imagine. But anyway, Sitting Bull. More like it. How about Phil Simms? Speaking of Sitting Bull, Phil Simms is doing a game Thursday night
nice.
With Ian Eagle
yeah.
and Westwood One.
That's
love
a great
that.
Pairing.
Yeah,
that'll be I mean, I won't listen to any of it. I'll be watching on television,
we'll
but good for those guys.
We'll have highlights
of
it.
We will.
Yeah.
Yes, we will. Okay. Jets home for the Broncos on Sunday. And a lot of conversation about Travis Kelce's production or lack thereof. Chris Collinsworth got on Mahomes and Kelce on Sunday Night Football about, like, where have they been? They don't look the same. So I got a couple of big sports media types here that here also were jumping on Kelce.
Big sports media types.
We start with Mike Francesa on his podcast. Says Kelce clearly a different guy with all the celebrity status that surrounds him now?
His life has taken a radical change. You see him in commercials. You see him in photo ops. You see him now very conscious of how he's dressed. And what he's wearing and what the deal is and where the paparazzi are and everything else. And it has changed his life.
I remember this guy all he cared about was football. And now he's in Dubai playing hide the pickle with Taylor Swift. And you cannot concentrate on the game when you're doing that stuff, folks. I mean, he's getting dressed. He's putting his pants on. He's looking in the mirror. He's aware of the cameras. And now that's you want to learn how to suck at football. He's giving you the blueprint. He is giving you the blueprint. Yeah.
I mean, it's a ridiculous. He's getting old too, by the way.
Well, then there's Todd McShay on the Ryan Russillo podcast. He also critical of his play.
Are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world.
But he stopped short of blaming the girlfriend.
I'm not blaming it on Taylor Swift. I'm not blaming anything. All I'm saying is when you win two Super Bowls, you've got the whole tour that happens after the Super Bowl. There's no one else doing more commercials, I don't think, in the league. I mean, he and Mahomes are up there, but I think Kelce's doing more commercials and things.
And his brother, and he's got the podcast and a lot going on.
Distracted. So. Well, maybe it's just biding his time until like the second half of the season and the playoff run in the Super Bowl where he then starts to assert himself.
You're saying he's bored right now?
You know, I don't think that they've played great yet. They're still 3-0.
That is true. And Mahomes hasn't played great, and they're 3-0.
Yeah, but, you know, fourth quarter comes around. They need a play. They'll make it. I mean, it's just they're going to be there. And when we get to that point in the season, when it really, truly does matter, guess who's going to be involved?
I mean, do you want to catch touchdown passes, or do you want to do the dirty Sanchez with a pop star? I mean, that's those are the questions you have to ask yourself.
Why can't I do both?
You can't. Okay, you got to concentrate. You got to concentrate. I love that.
He did not sound great in that clip, by the way.
You know, the amazing thing is they win their first game on Thursday night against the Ravens. Then Patrick, his wife, Taylor, and Travis are at the U.S. Open that weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I never did stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I could just couldn't imagine, like, not.
Let me ask you this, though. Had you been flying around with private jets at that age, would you think you might have? That's a little different now.
I may have. It's completely different. It's a completely different set of circumstances. I very rarely ever left Cincinnati after a game. Mm. Ever.
Yeah. These guys do.
They're 3-0.
Yeah.
They're back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
And they can do whatever they want, really, honestly.
It'll be okay.
Phillies beat the Cubs 6-2, clinched the NL East. Kyle Schwarber homered, so it is his second straight 100-walk, 100-run, 100-RBI season. Pretty good there. The Giants beat the Diamondbacks 6-3. Arizona now the third wild card team in the National League, a half game behind the idle Mets, who will be in Atlanta tonight. The Mets take over that second spot. The Braves still on the outside looking in, now a game and a half behind Arizona. Mets with Luis Severino making the start tonight against Spencer Schwellenbach. The weather is obviously a factor. I heard Keith talk about maybe a doubleheader tomorrow. They will get today, and though it's going to be warm. And you got the Yankees looking to clinch the AL East tonight. Just a win will do it over the Orioles. You've got Clark Schmidt and Dean Kramer, the pitchers, first pitch on the fan at 7:05, and Mitchell Robinson hoping to be ready to play December, January, coming off that ankle surgery deal.
Oh, he went to, that's right, he went to like the Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania, Countersport, PA, and we had to figure that whole thing out. And he's gone again this week. Did he tell you he was gone this week?
No, he did not.
Didn't tell me he was
actually
gone this week.
Fleegs told me.
Yeah, Fleegs. I guess he tells Fleegs and Fleegs leaks the information, whatever. But he didn't tell me. Did he tell you, Al, that he was leaving?
On Friday when he was going out the door, he goes, I'll see you next Friday.
Wow. See, so he's very sneaky about this. But not sneaky enough, because we have found a way to track him. And we also have now a theme song as we track him. Fleegs, hit it.
Jet setting here and there, it's never ordinary. Is he chilling in Paris or dancing in Spain? Sipping espresso in Rome or surfing in Maine? Eddie Scorseri, oh, where can he be? Roaming the globe, just living carefree. He's the life of the party, always on the go. Where in the world is Eddie? Come on, let's show.
All right, let's show where Eddie Scorseri is. And it's now in Bicknell, Utah, as his phone is now pinging. He somehow is sharing his location with our digital maven, Tom Izzo. I don't know how this happened, why this happened, but he is sharing his location with Tom Izzo, and Eddie is moving very briskly, by the way, southeast in Utah to the city of Bicknell.
So, and we think he is at the Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat.
That's an educated guess of ours.
We think that's where he is, because that is in, it looks like it's in Utah as well.
Yeah, so Bicknell, is he's moving towards Bicknell this morning.
I got a friend who lives out there. I can ask him where, like, this retreat is taking place at the Alta Lodge. You know, the ski area.
Oh, okay.
Alta.
But that was over the weekend. So he probably did that over the weekend and now is doing another part of his trip.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he's probably moved from there. He was also at the Snoozy Lodge or something.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is that who I think it is?
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. There is a photo. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There's a photo on the website.
Of Eddie's wife.
Of Eddie's wife at the Rocky Mountain Knitters Fall Retreat. And she's right there.
Al, you got to see this. Come in here. Wow. You can't fool us, Eddie. We found you. We found you at the Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat. Look.
Yep.
That's yep. All right.
Unbelievable. Great job. So he was there over the weekend, and now they're doing whatever the rest of the week in Utah.
Yeah, that was sold out. That that Knitter's Fall Retreat was sold out, and there she is.
That's amazing. Is that who I think that is? Oh, my God. It's phenomenal that we were able to figure that out. It was sold out. It was a big deal.
I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of smiles on their face. This must be fun.
Yeah, but you read the whole itinerary earlier.
Well, it's knit, drink, knit, massage, knit, drink some more.
But is Eddie doing? Is Eddie knitting while this is going on?
They also have a hiking thing.
Okay, so he's hiking, but
he likes to hike. You know him.
Oh my God! I mean, if Gina asked me to go to the Rocky Mountain Knitters retreat,
yeah, but that's not
during football season. I mean,
that's
nuts?
Their thing, though.
Might have been better for Eddie if he missed that Dolphins game on Sunday.
True.
Right. And, you know, listen, it's up at Alta, so it's beautiful there.
I mean, that's true love right there. The Rocky Mountain Knitters retreat.
Yeah.
God.
I'm telling you, look, man, it's knit, relax, eat, drink, knit some more, relax some more, have some chocolate, knit, maybe get a massage.
I love how
hike, knit, take a nap, and have a glass of wine, and then knit some more, and then regroup and rejuvenate.
You better come back refreshed, man, after all that knitting and relaxing.
And the wine drinking, that's, you know, he's going to be right in the middle of that.
You know what I love is he's obviously deliberately deceptive about this because he doesn't want to tell us he's going to the Rocky Mountain Knitters Retreat because we would be doing this about it. But then we probably wouldn't have said much if he just told us, maybe off the air, would have forgotten about it. But now, since he doesn't tell us, we do the digging and we found you. We found you.
And we have her picture.
Yes. So you cannot even, I don't know what they're doing in Bicknell now. What's going on there? But they're headed there. Maybe for some hiking. I mean, it's early for them to be moving around out there, no?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and he's flying. He's flying down to Bicknell.
I can't.
You should text him a picture of the picture, and that's how you let him know. You know where he is.
Found you.
Good job.
Oh, it was the 2024 Rocky Mountain Knitters Fall Retreat is sold out.
Yeah.
Amazing. I wonder if we can get in next year. I wonder how early they start taking requests. Jeff at Hopewell Junction's got an idea for our Boomer and Geo Live at the Powerman on November 22nd. We give thanks around Thanksgiving. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning? Hey, yeah, I was thinking, you know, you put Peter Schwartz in a big turkey costume. And you guys take turns lighting them up with paintball guns.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know if we'd be allowed to do that, but I love the idea. It's a good idea. I'd have to run that by the folks there at the Paramount because paint is a tough thing. You know, exploding paint is a very tough thing.
Yeah.
So, no, we do have a giant turkey idea already. So we've got that. It's not Peter Schwartz because Peter asked for way too much. But... So we'll see. He's essentially priced himself out. He's like that baseball free agent that just hangs out there because Boris is his agent and he doesn't get the contract that he wants. So now we have to go elsewhere and get people who are more willing to be a part of this, you know, for free. That's what we need. By the way, Boomer and Geo Live.
Yes.
Paramount, Friday, November 22nd. Tickets go on sale Friday at 8 a.m., but you can get it a day early on Thursday with the pre-sale by entering pre-sale code THANKS. I'm assuming that the pre-sale is also 8 a.m. on Thursday. Pre-sale code THANKS. So come out and hang out. It'll be Friday night. These Boomer and Geo Live shows are absolutely epic, so we're excited to do another one, our fourth Boomer and Geo Live. So tremendous stuff, and it's always, always a great time.